Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ruth Wallisoff.
Good. You're a quick learner.
Oh, God. The hardest part of this job is last names. And we are very fortunate to have with us today legislator Sheila Bino, who is with the 2nd District.
That's correct.
We were talking about zombie homes, and I just want to finish up on that in reference to you getting some grant money. You can fix up some homes. Then what happens? So, yeah, you're fortunate enough to have a few people buy these homes. How can they get a down payment? What's the procedure?
So many of the we're hoping that many of the purchasers will be first-time home buyers, and that Nassau County also has a first-time home buyers down payment assistance program. So it's the hope of the land bank board that we'll be able to tie those two programs together, where the individuals who will go to purchase the homes that we are looking to price affordable in an affordable range will also be able to qualify for the down payment assistance program.
Okay.
And then use that money. It's a dollar for dollar match. So if you have $5,000 to put down, the down payment assistance program will in essence give you an additional $5,000. So your down payment is $10,000.
I think that's wonderful.
So that's really, you know, great. That's one of the initiatives. And then a lot of the banks have first-time home buyer programs that that would assist in the mortgage process.
There is a safeguard, I'm assuming, that somebody can't come in, a builder, and buy 10 of them.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, after you do the work to fix them up, I say, here's a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. We will put in all types of, you know, safeguards to ensure that these are going to individuals who will own or occupy. And in addition, there will be deed restrictions that would not allow for families to buy the house at an affordable rate using, you know, affordable programs, and then in a short period of time flipping it, and then, you know, dragging out the equity. And so there will be deed restrictions that will ensure that the homes remain affordable.
Getting to another topic, would you tell us about hosting community events to build respectful relations between the police, who are so important, and the community?
Yes. So that is also, you know, very early on in my career as a legislator, there was a situation that happened in the Westbury community, and it wasn't much different than what we've seen played out across, you know, the nation, where, you know, there's something captured on video, and communities left with more questions than they have answers. And
just, I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. It's becoming more and more amazing. The video capturing of stuff on Facebook, all of a sudden you see something coming up. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, people have to be aware that people are watching.
That's right. And so, you know, the video left us reeling. It left us with a lot of questions. And so in looking at how we could deal with this issue and better be in a better position to ensure that we don't have these issues coming down the pike routinely, I began to work with the police department. And the police department immediately put out a proposal for a consultant that would come in and start to look at the policies and procedures that govern, our police officers in use of force and supervisory and things of that nature. And so it was a really important initiative in that, the consultants engaged the community directly. They had did questionnaires, and then they were reporting back regularly to me, and I was engaging them because I wanted to really understand the process. And so partway through the process, they said, listen, we want to have focus groups, and we're going to have this theater style type of town hall setting, and we'll invite people from all the legislative districts in to speak with us to learn about what their needs and their concerns are. And I said, 1 second. I think we should break it down legislative district by legislative district, because what's important in legislative district 2 may not be so impactful in legislative 18. And so I think when you target your audience, you may get more fruitful dialogue. So, and they were amenable. They did it. They broke us down legislative district by legislative district, and they started to bubble up the issues, and they started to look at policy. So there was a change to the use of force policy down the road. In addition to that, I felt like that's great and that's important, but if there's a still a disjointed relationship between community and police, it's how effective will the policy changes be? I didn't think too effective. So I started hosting a backpack event specifically in the Westbury, Newcastle community where that incident had been captured on video. And so the police department committed to 1,000 backpacks, and they come out on a hot Sunday afternoon in August, and we have a real great community event. Everything from face painting to refreshments to bike safety.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, bike safety presentations. We have private partners that come in. Cannondale comes in and does all the adjustments on the kids' bikes, and the police department bring out, you know, a lot of their resources so the kids could become right. familiar with, you know, the bike patrols and the dogs and the horses and helicopters. And it's all great. But I think the real meaningful component of this event really happens in advance of that. Because a few days prior to the actual event, the backpacks are delivered, and then they have to be stuffed with all of the school supplies that the police department supplies as well. And it's on that day that I invite our faith-based leaders, I invite our school leaders, I invite community organizations to come, civic associations, and we invite the police department. And I set up stations throughout, and we hosted at the Yes We Can Center, with Councilwoman Viviana Russell, and we set up stations throughout the Yes We Can Center, and we assign people to these stations. So police are not all at one station. So mm-hmm. at any given, you could have, you know, one of the school board trustees with one of the principals, with, you know, a sergeant from the police department.
So there's a lot of interaction.
When I tell you, it's just so, and it's organic, right? It's just authentic. People are really engaging. People are learning about each other, what type of work they're doing, where they're doing it. And so much so that when I show up to community events that the school is now hosting or that the NAACP is hosting, I'm showing up and the police department representatives are there. They're inviting them. They have a direct line of communication now with those departments, with those special units, and they're there and they're engaged. And I think that goes a long way because, God forbid, you know, there is another incident that, you know, would be captured on video, leaving us with a lot of questions. We now have relationships to be able to sit down and have meaningful dialogue around those issues. And, you know, listen, sometimes you have to have, you know, those, you know, spirited conversations. But at the end of the day, when you know there's a relationship that needs to survive mm-hmm. the incident, I think, you know, everyone comes to the table ready to and prepared to deal with these issues and to earnestly work toward a resolve.
Do the police have body cameras?
So we did introduce legislation for body cameras. And the police union did submit a legal action mm-hmm. In response to the administration's agreement with us to introduce the body cameras. And so I've had conversations with the police union representatives, and they've said, listen, we understand that technology is coming and that we will be equipped with body cameras and put, you know, dashboard cameras at a certain point in time. We just want to be a part of the dialogue. And they felt like the way administration was introducing this pilot program excluded them from the discussions as to okay. what would be the policies that govern these, the mm-hmm. use of the cameras. So I'm hopeful that there will be real efforts made to work together so that, you know, the police unions have a comfort level To the extent is possible, and that the administration is able to move forward and implement this pilot program.
It can be a contentious issue.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation recently with one of the union people in general, not in reference to your situation, but with the cameras, one of the concerns they have is it has to be a constant feed.
Right.
Because if I can turn it off turn it on and then turn it off, you hit me, I hit you back, but they don't show you hitting me.
That's right.
And then that goes into Facebook or that goes on the TV.
That's right.
But it's a need that has to come.
And then like in one of the examples that they gave me, and it makes good sense, right? You show up to a domestic issue and the person is not properly clothed. Do you leave the camera on? Do you leave it off? You know, these are the policies mm-hmm. that, and I understand them, rightfully so. We need our police. We appreciate our police.
Is it public?
What's that?
The camera. I'm a what cop, that's public knowledge. Then if I walk in, there's a domestic fight and mm-hmm. nobody has any clothes on. But that's only going to the precinct.
It's only going to the precinct. But if later on it becomes a part of a domestic violence case in a court scenario, or even in a civil situation,
I get you.
And it's foilable, or they're able to get the feed.
Fine.
Have they infringed on the privacy of the individual who was in their home, not dressed properly?
You know, if you don't think everything through, there are so many complications
sure.
to everything.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Sure. We appreciate our police officers. We need their support and their assistance. And the community has a right to feel protected when they're engaging with police. They shouldn't be afraid, and we have to find a way to make sure that that happens. And I think that, you know, looking at use of force policies and other policies that govern police is one of them. I think the use of technology is another, and I think the most important component of it is having, you know, strong community police relations. And I think, you know, down the road, maybe even, you know, diversifying the police force is another way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so at these events that we host, we always make sure that we have some of the young people that are part of the police. I'm losing the name right now, but it's a young group that follow under the police department. And they're almost a model for younger people who may want to track into law enforcement.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's the work.
You know, this is amazing. We're out of time.
Okay.
And we normally don't have people on the show during their election year. But we're going to consider yours a part B, because you have to come back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Celia's putting together is a community. And that's what it's coming across. And I know you, so therefore I know this is not just radio talk. This is the way she runs. She owns her job. And therefore, when you own it, you respect it, and you do your best. And you're really just, you're an amazing person.
Well,
I really think so. I agree. And I don't think there are enough hours in the day for you to do all the things you do.
Well, it's a great partnership between, you know, the office of the staff at the Housing Authority and the legislative office, and my relationships with the towns and the villages. It's just that easy to get it done. So thank you.
Terrific. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Thank you.